Psalm chapter number 4, we've been using this for a text, and I'm going to go until God says not to go anymore. The Word of God said in verse number 4, stand in awe, and sin not, and commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. We've been using for a text, stand in awe, and I can't even begin to review all the messages, but we've been there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night now, and with few exceptions. Brother Steve preached for us last Sunday night. When I get finished this morning, Brother Steve, or maybe even when I get started, you're going to be amazed at how the Sunday school fits. We shouldn't be, but we do stand in awe of the God of heaven, amen. Even the singing, Brother Rose, it's amazing to me how the Lord works. Stand in awe and sin not. Let's pray, and we're going to be taking you back over into the book of Genesis this morning, trying to bring a simple thought, and yet it's profound. It'll change your life. It'll change our church. It'll change our country if everybody got a hold of the truth that I'm going to share with you this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. And, Lord, may we stand in awe of your goodness. And may we, our Father, be used in these days, our Lord. Lord, we know that there's certain aspects, Lord, that things just keep getting darker and darker. But, our Father, there's that glimmer of hope, that ray of light that we find in the gospel message, that we find in your people. And I pray now, Father, this morning that, Lord, you'd make this message real in our hearing, because, Lord, it'll be nothing but a group of words if the Holy Spirit don't take it past our ears down into our hearts. And I pray you'll do that, Lord. Lord, we're going to stand before the judgment seat one day after a while, give an account of the deeds done in our body. Lord, the saved people are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Lost people are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. Lord, may we never forget there's a judgment day coming. Lord, we're going to stand before the King and give an account. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're looking at a thought this morning. If you'll turn back with me to the book of Genesis, please. We were there on Wednesday night looking at Abraham. And this morning, we're going to look at in Genesis chapter number 24. And I want us to stand in awe of the Word of God and how that God works. But I would like this morning to use this opportunity to teach us something that I believe is overlooked in our church world today. I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you are saved and you're not ashamed of it? Yeah, I mean saved. I mean, you know that if you breathed your last breath today, heaven would be your home. How many of you saved? Now let me ask you this question. Why are you here? Why did God leave you on the earth? Why didn't God, if he saved you, to take you to heaven and all your sorrows would be over and the pain would be over and no more death? Why didn't he just take you? Why didn't he just take me February 22nd, 1987? I don't know exactly what time it was. It was a Sunday night service at Landmark Baptist Church. But I never shall forget it. When he spoke to my heart, said, son, I'll forgive you if you'll come to me. I'll wash you. Why didn't he just take me on home that night? Hearing the Word of God, I don't want to drag my feet, but I do want to get this point across this morning. In chapter number 24, let's read, because I don't believe you can improve upon the Word of God. Abraham was old and well stricken in age. This is verse 1. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You remember Wednesday night we talked about how that he was rich. He was very rich in cattle, in gold, and silver. This proves a point. Some people think that the rich man went to hell because he was rich. Oh, no, no, no. Abraham was, the Lazarus died and was in Abraham's bosom. Abraham was rich too. Riches is not what makes the difference between heaven and hell. Jesus is what makes the difference between heaven and hell. You can be poor and go to heaven. You can be poor and go to hell. You can be rich and go to heaven. You can be rich and go to hell. So Abraham was blessed in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, I believe according to Genesis 15:2, this me, Eliezer, was the steward of Abraham's house. I believe that's who this is right here. I won't fight with you about it. And ruled over all that he had. He said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In the story that I'm reading and you're hearing this morning, and we may read more later, but what I want to call your attention to is that Isaac, the one that we saw on the altar, that Abraham was ready to slay him on Wednesday night, we stood in awe how that he was willing to obey God regardless of the cost. I believe that many of God's children are willing to obey God until they get up to that point and see that it's going to cost them something. And then they retreat. They back off from that. But Abraham was willing to obey the Lord. Here, Abraham has sent out a servant to look for a bride for his son Isaac. I want to ask you a question this morning. I don't believe it's a stretch at all. How many believes in something called biblical typology? I believe that Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Abraham is a type of God the Father. And I believe that the servant, Brother Steve, is a type of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And I believe that the servant is sent out to seek out a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac, the promised son, the seed by whom a whole nation is going to be born. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which one of the Godhead took up his abode in your heart and in my heart the moment that we trusted Jesus as our Savior? Who knows who that is? The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. You're talking about the same person. Now I want to ask you this question. If we would take to heart what God is saying to us this morning, we could learn something. There's a reason that God, Brother Preston, you're nodding your head. You're with me. Thank the Lord for that, brother. There's a reason God left you and I here on the earth. Someone is dwelling in us. There's a work that's not yet complete. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Beloved, the church of the living God. I'm not talking about Bible Way. I'm talking about every born-again believer makes up what the Bible calls the bride of Christ. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, if we could get a hold of this morning, we'd do a whole lot more standing in awe. I believe as this servant went out, and we're going to find in the text, beloved, that he asked the the Lord to show him the right woman. She's supposed to do some things. She's supposed to give him some water, and not only water for him, but water for all the camels. And Rebecca's right in the right place, right at the right time, doing exactly what God's servant asked for. Amen. Let me give you this morning. I just want to give you three things here, or three or four things this morning that I think would really, really help us. First, there's just a request. What I've learned in this is that Abraham calls his servant and requests. Now listen, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. But he said, I don't want you to be discouraged. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send one just like me. Beloved, I want to say this to you this morning. Listen to me carefully. His only job, or it's not his only job to comfort you and I. It is his job as well to bring conviction to the lost. And listen, you and I that are saved because God spoke to our heart, convicted us of our sin, convicted us of the judgment that's to come, and convicted us of his righteousness. The Spirit of God did that. So here's the Holy Spirit. He's in the world. You say, he is? Yep. I brought him with me. This building was dead as a doornail until the first believer, that was probably Sister Helen, walked in today. This is just walls. It's plaster. It's carpet. It's pews. It's dead. The building is not the church. The people of God are the church of the living God. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you and inside of me. If we get a hold of this, it'd change our life. He's on a mission. What's his mission? His mission is to seek out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we would remember that, Brother Steve, remember your Sunday school lesson and the encounters that we have in life. If we would remember that, we'd come by the communion table and get one of these cards and give it out, or give somebody a gospel tract, call somebody that's been missing at the house of God. Beloved, if we just remember that we're here with a purpose and a reason, there's a request. Abraham has sent his servant out to look for a bride. Jesus is still looking through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, preacher, how do you know the bride's not finished? I'm still here. Honey, when that last one is born again, the bride of Christ is made up. Hello, we're out of here. We're gone home. But until then, here we are. We have the Holy Spirit. He's on a mission. He's seeking out a bride for Christ. Beloved, the instructions here. He's seeking out a bride. Let me give you the requirements. First of all, someone was looking for a bride. He said, preacher, I don't know if God would ever use me to make a difference in somebody else's life. He probably won't if you're not looking for an opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life. The servant left Abraham. The servant had taken an oath. And the servant went right out to do. He set out to do what the father, what Abraham wanted him to do. And so there was someone that was looking for a bride. Now watch this. Look at chapter 24, or verse 24 in chapter 24. Verse 27 in chapter 24. I want you, the requirements. In other words, many people come to church. Listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing. I'm trying to help us this morning. I told you it changed your life. It changed our church. It changed our country. If God's people just knew why we're still here. We're here to make a difference. We're here to allow Him to work in and through us to make a difference in somebody else's life. Watch this. We said it's someone who's looking for a bride. Beloved, listen, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He said, let me just stop for just a minute. Psalm 4 don't mean anything. Listen to me carefully. But if we get a hold of this, Psalm 4 means everything. Stand in awe. What's the next words? And sin not. Okay, here's the deal. If we're walking in sin, willful, knowing sin, then the Holy Spirit's not going to have that access to lead us, to guide us. We're doing our own thing, you talked about, Brother Steve. Not interested in what's most important to Him. I'll say this to you this morning. There's nothing in the world more important to our Savior than the salvation of a sinner. Nothing. Nothing even comes close to someone being saved by the grace of God. So there's someone who's looking for a bride. He said, "Preacher, the Holy Spirit lives in me. I just never feel that nudge." You might ought to check and see why. There's probably something that's deadening that nerve. You're not being sensitive to Him. Amen? Now, watch this. Someone not only was looking for a bride, but someone was leading the way. This is so elementary in one way, but God put it right here in the Word. Look at verse 27. And He said, this is the servant, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and His truth." He said, "I being in the way," what's the next words? "The Lord led me." Can you say last week, "The Lord led you"? Can you say, "Listen, I got up this morning. I acknowledge that He's my Father. I acknowledge that the Spirit of God lives inside of me. I acknowledge that He's seeking out a bride. I want to be sensitive to Him. I want Him to lead me." I've heard about men that would pray before they went to work. I've heard about men of God that would pray, Brother Steve, about going to church. "Lord, what route do you want me to take?" Realizing, Brother Michael, you're going to a job. You're doing it every week, every day. You're going here. You're going there. You never know from day to day where you're going to be going. But what do we want to do sometimes? Listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing. I said we, not you. We want the quickest, shortest. Amen. Put it in the phone. Am I right or am I wrong? This servant said, "I be in the way. The Lord led me." In other words, he was in the way. What do you mean in the way, preacher? He was in the way where he was yielded to the will of God. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Now listen, warning. I believe this with all of my heart. When the requirements come out, someone's looking for a bride, someone was leading the way. If you and I would be honest, I said you and I would be honest. There are times when we know. I think about Brother Jim and Sister Marge, Brother Steve. I had my plan set for that day. And when I woke up that morning, thank God, He changed my plans. You say, "Preacher, you bragging on yourself?" No, God knows my heart right now. My greatest fear, Brother Lowell, is how many times did I miss Him? How many times was I running so fast and had my own agenda that I never even heard the voice? I said, "This is what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. Here's who I want you to speak to." Is this making any sense to anybody? You're still here because God's still looking for a bride. And if we'll stand in awe, you ought to stand in awe this morning that you're still here and that the Holy Spirit would take up His abode in your life and include you. I'm going to tell you something right now. This would be a happy day in a church's life when we realize it's not the pastor's responsibility to do it all. That God wants you involved in looking for a bride. God wants you involved in allowing Him to lead the way. In verse number 50, I want you to read this story when you get home. Would you read it all? How many will do that? If you'll commit right now, I want you to listen. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. How many will read this whole chapter when you get home? Read it, please. I beg you. Read it this afternoon. It's beautiful. Rebecca carrying that water. Oh, here, get you. She had it up on her head, evidently. She let it down upon her hand.
gave that water to the servants. He said, "I don't want to just water the. I don't want to just give you water. I want to water all the camels." There's a lot of speculation to how much water that was, but them camels, they got two big humps, and they hold a lot of water. Amen. There's something right there I want to say. We need to be a little bit like a camel, and we need to store up some water, because there will come some dry places in our lives. There will come some desert experiences in our lives. We need to be able to make it across the desert. There's a request. There's the requirements. Look in verse number 50. I want you to see the results. I don't know if I'm getting it across or not. The Lord lives in you, Kitty. He's allowing you and I to be a little part of the greatest work this world has ever seen. He's looking for a bride. Watch this now. Let's look at the result here. In verse number 50, the word of God said, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee." The Bible said here, "Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife." Look at this now. "As the Lord has spoken." That's the result, beloved, of the obedient servant that went out to do what Abraham wanted him to do. He found what he was looking for. If every born-again believer in this room today would say to themselves today, "Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go until he that lives in me finds who he's looking for." He's living in there. He's looking for a bride. Brother Steve mentioned this morning in Sunday school that 100 days ago, I believe you said, I've been to his home, and I saw the set of steps there where his leg got tangled up in it. And in a moment of time, in seconds, his life changed as he turned and twisted and his body went out in the yard, but his leg wanted to stay on the steps. Excruciating. I was talking to my wife on the way to church this morning about Brother Randall. I've been communicating with him a little bit, and he had a fall in the barn, and he in the text message he said, "Pastor, that fall would have killed a young man." Thinking about my dad when he said that. My dad fell 2.5 stories. I was with him. Fell across a pile of 6x6s. Broke his shoulder, broke his back, broke 3 ribs. The grace of God, he didn't die. The night before, Preston, in the evening service of the church, my dad stood there and gripped the pew and would not turn loose, knowing that the Holy Ghost of God was dealing with him. And he wouldn't turn loose. The pastor went to visit my dad. Dad looked up at him from the hospital bed. He said, "Pastor," he said, "a man can either look up when God's wanting him to look up, or God can put him in a place where the only way he has to look up." Dad didn't get bitter. Dad got better. Got saved. Preacher's best friend, Brother Sam. I don't know how much painting and building and roofing and mowing he's done around the church before he went to heaven. Visiting. The friend worked with my dad. He wasn't on the job that morning, but he came to see my dad in the hospital. This is what reminded me of it. Brother Randall said that fall would have killed a young man. Well, Dad and this fellow, they just joked all the time. His name was Tony. And they called each other ape. When they worked together, they say, "You ape, you ape, you ape." I mean, they're joking all the time. "You ape." No, they weren't evolutionists, I promise you that. But that's what they did. They just kidded one another. This guy walks in the hospital room. My dad's got 3 ribs broke. His back's broke. His shoulder's broke. And he looked at my dad and he said, "John," he said, "I was out there where you fell." He said, I told you it was an ape. He said, that fall would have killed a human. Dad went to laughing. His ribs, they're killing him. I mean, he couldn't stand it. Amen. I was reminded of that. And I want you to know this morning, if somebody special lives inside of you. He's got a special work in mind. It ain't just about you. I don't know who was it told me last week or so. Somebody told me that they remembered the acrostic of joy that I brought out years ago. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. That's the joyful life. Looking out for somebody else, trying to see somebody else helped, somebody else saved by the grace of God. The results. Look at verse 63 with me for just a moment. The word of God said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time. Look how this ties in with Psalm, Brother Steve. Be still. Stand in awe. I believe Isaac is standing out there in that field just thinking, she's coming. I can't wait to see her. I believe he might have had a thought like this, Brother Steve. God, you do everything just right. Lord, you had that ram over there calling that thicket just right, just at the right time. Lord, you're going to bless us and we're going to be like the sand by the seashore, like the stars of heaven for multitude. I believe Isaac might have been out there in that field looking up and God knocking holes in the darkness. He's standing in awe that God's plan, Brother Kenny included him. Now watch this. I'm going to talk a little bit about some rejoicing. The Bible said here in verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, I love this little phrase, the camels were coming. Glory to God. There's a blessing on those camels. There's a bride for Isaac, Abraham's son. Now, I want you to see something here in this. Young people especially, if you're not married, please, please listen right here. Isaac is going to be very happy. He's going to be rejoicing. Rebecca's going to be very happy, going to be rejoicing. And the reason is they let God do the choosing. Listen to me carefully, beloved. Listen to me carefully. It's always best, regardless of the choice, Brother Allen, to let God do the choosing. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. There's so many choices made in life just on sight. I'll tell you something. That'll change. Our hair will get gray, won't it, Brother Gary? It'll get gray, won't it, brother? Some of us will experience that chest of drawer disease. That's where your chest falls down in your drawers, amen? We ain't quite the hunk that we used to be. But I tell you something right now. I can honestly say to my wife, I love her more today that I've ever loved her in my life. It's not whether our hair's gray or whether it's not or whether our physique is what it used to be, but it's the heart. And this morning, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, I want you to ask Him to take control of your heart, to let Him have His way, let Him lead the way. I believe if you read this chapter, it's a lengthy chapter. But not only is there rejoicing, but I finish with this. Look down at verse number 66. The word of God said, and the servant told Isaac. This is already recorded in the Bible once, Brother Steve. And then the servant told Laban how that God worked all these circumstances out to say that's the one. Laban, when he heard the story, he couldn't get away from it. He said, this is of God. This don't just happen. This is of God. And now the servant is rehearsing and he's telling Isaac the same story. The word of God said, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Everybody that said a while ago, whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't, but you acknowledged at least in your heart that you are a born-again believer. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you could do is rehearse what God has done in your life. One of the things, listen, beloved, listen, if he hadn't done anything in your life, then you need to get to know him. But if he saved you and cleaned you up and delivered you and changed your life, that's Bible salvation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not perfect after we get saved, but we are different. If we're not different, we've not met the deliverer. We're different. I want you to see something here. Look in verse number 33. I want you to see the priority here. A couple of things and I'm finished. And there was set meat before him. This is the servant now. There was set meat before him, Brother Steve. But he said, I will not eat. Watch this. Until I have told mine errand. In other words, he said, I'm not interested in eating. The priority here is the bride. The priority here is not my comfort. It's not me getting something in my belly. The priority is the bride. Can y'all see that? He said, listen, Laban, I appreciate the food. I appreciate everything you prepared. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here because God sent me to look for a bride. Abraham sent me to look for a bride for his son Isaac. Look at the plain speech, if you would, in verse number 49. After he gets through telling the story, he said in verse number 49, now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me. That kind of goes along with what the Bible said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Just plain speech. Tell me that I may turn to the right hand and to the left. Laban acknowledges it's of the Lord, and I close with this. I want you to see something here I've never seen before in my life. The servant in verse 53 brought jewels, silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and gave to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. They did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Watch this now. I'm closing. Watch this. Never saw this before in my life. Is that good English, Missy? Never seen this before. These eyes never laid eyes on this before. Watch this. And her brother and her mother said, whoop, he's ready to go. Brother Steve, we're going to find out in just a few verses, she's ready to go. But the mother and the brother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. Watch this now. And he said unto them, look at those next three words, hinder me not. Watch what I'm about to say. Just as sure as I'm breathing this morning, just as sure as my name is written in heaven, just as sure as I'm saved by the grace of God, every time the Spirit of God wants to use me, there's something else that wants to hinder me. Watch this morning. Just as sure as I'm breathing, sure as I'm saved, sure as I'm preaching this morning, listen to me. Every time the Spirit of God speaks to a heart, There's something. Might be a cell phone, says, look over here. Might be somebody passing a note, says, look over here. Might be a thought. Might be a movie. Might be a song. But just as sure as God deals with the heart, something's going to come along. I don't know how many times I've been out soul winning, been in somebody's house, and somebody been right to the place where they wanted to say yes to Jesus, and the phone rang. You say, preacher, you really believe it's a warfare? Have you read your Bible? You think a devil's going to let people get saved, amen, without trying to hinder them? Watch this now. I'm teaching you something that God just showed me this morning. The mother and the brother don't say she can't go. Just not now. I've said this for years, Brother Steve. For years I've said I don't believe a devil tells people never to get saved. He just tells them, not now. What's the Bible tell them? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth. Not now. The Word of God said, He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Now watch this. They're not finished yet. And they said, we will call the damsel. We'll just talk to Rebecca about this. We'll see what her mind is. And inquired her mouth. And they called Rebecca. Glory. And said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Here comes some more plain speech, Brother Steve. And she said, I'll go. I will go. You remember that day in your life when the Holy Spirit said, this man, Jesus, this man that gave his life on an old rugged cross, this man they buried, this man they beat him, this man they crucified him, this man they buried, this man rose again the third day. Will you go with this man? How many remembers the day you said, I will go? Preacher said one time, he made the statement, Brother Larry, he said, I got a lot riding on this book. A godly old man said, that's a good place to let it ride. My eternal life is riding on this book. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. My eternity is riding on this book. But not only that, my life is riding on this book. I tell you this morning, I'm finished. Who's going to do the invitation song, Brother Ralph? Are you going to do that, Brother Rose? You got an invitation ready? Sister Becky, come on, let's get ready. But if you would understand this morning, Brother Joe, how old are you? 92. You're a blessing to this preacher. Brother Joe, you're still here. And there's a reason. Hey, somebody lives inside of you. Now, there's somebody out here in Church Hill, Mount Carmel, where you live, Brother Joe, Kingsport, where we're at. There's somebody that'll listen to a 92-year-old man that won't listen to a man that's none of your business. Am I telling it right or am I telling it right? Chance, how old are you? 19? I'm telling you, Chance, there's somebody that'll listen to you that won't listen to me. Does he live in there? He has a purpose. Let's see if it changes. It changed our life. Brother Michael, if we knew why he's living in there. That he's still looking for a bride for his son, Jesus. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for these that have come. Lord, the message is weighty. Lord, I pray that it'll weigh on our hearts today. Lord, as we go to lunch, as we travel up and down the road, Lord, that you live in us. You're not finished with us, and you're not finished with the bride. Help us, Lord, to be in the way, that the Lord might lead us. Lord, it's just hard for me to believe that a born-again believer can live week after week and year after year and not be led to speak to someone about their soul. Lord, how we need a revival. A revival, Lord, of what's important. Lord, it's not the brick and the mortar, but Lord, it's the church of the living God. Help us, I pray. Speak to the lost. Help them not to be hindered. Help your people not to be hindered, Lord, but to determine today, Lord, that they want to be used. Be looking for a bride for your darling son, the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning.